Happy to see all you brave souls come back and try it again tonight after the flood this morning. We're continuing our study in 2 Peter tonight as we continue our study of the Christian graces which are listed there. And as I've told you, we're going to be going through these one by one. Last week we looked at virtue. And in verse number 5, he says to virtue, we should supply knowledge. God desires each one of us become partakers of the divine nature. Back there in verse number 4, he speaks about the promises that are exceedingly great and precious, that through these we might be partakers of the divine nature. As we grow, we're growing, and as we add these Christian virtues, we are growing to be like that divine nature, to be like God. And tonight now we're going to notice in regards to knowledge that is going to be our study, and we're going to look at a bunch of scriptures in regards to knowledge, and so I've tried to put them on to some transparencies. I'll be surprised if I've got these all right on in the right order and everything, because we did it so quickly this evening. Come on over here, Dana. Can you all see? I'm kind of down here and it makes a problem for you. You may want to move over there also. Actually, I'm not quite ready for these here, but first, I want to notice what is knowledge. Knowledge is translated 28 times from the Greek word gnosis. And the different ones give meanings of it that I'd like to share with you. And Crudence gives the definition of Christian prudence and experience in the ways of God. In the Cambridge Bible, we find the definition, the moral discernment of those who understand what the will of the Lord is. And he uses Ephesians 5, verse 17. It says, wherefore, that we should not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And also Hebrews 5 and verse number 14, which is listed here also. Strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Knowledge is that ability to discern between that which is good and evil. The pulpit commentary gives a description of knowledge in this use of the word gnosis as meaning discretion, a right understanding. And Woods, in his commentary, uses these exact two scriptures here, which we have looked at, and speaks of it as being discrimination, as is indicated in here, understanding what the will of the Lord is, and understanding right from wrong. The knowledge which grows out of virtue is right understanding, discrimination, discernment, gained by a familiar and actual experience in the ways of God. And so these are some of the definitions of the word gnosis. Now, there is also another Greek word which is translated knowledge, which is epignosis. And the word epi has in reference to the front of it there means above or over. And so in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 2 here is where the place where this word is used here. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge, epignosis, of God and of Jesus our Lord. And this seems to have the idea of a more complete and full knowledge. Paul uses this word 16 times. Peter used it 4 times. Never appears in the gospel. And this seems to have reference to a knowledge that is strengthened, expressing a fuller or more full knowledge when this word is used. The scriptures seem to indicate there are degrees of knowledge. This first scripture here from Proverbs 1 and verse number 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. There's a beginning of knowledge. It begins with the fear of the Lord. And then, as Gary puts up the next one here, from Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 20, after Jesus told the disciples to go all in the world, preach the gospel to every creature, he told them then to teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And so after they've learned enough to obey the gospel, then they are to grow even more. And this again shows that we are to grow in knowledge. Philippians 1 and verse number 9, Paul prayed for the Philippians, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. They had some knowledge, but it was to abound more and more. And so there's degrees. In Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Again, there we see that increasing in the knowledge of God. I'm afraid that there are a lot of people who become Christians who are happy and content to sort of stop after they've been baptized into Christ and feel that they are in a saved relationship, and as far as their growth and development in the kingdom and the knowledge of God, they stop there and do not seem to want to grow and develop any further than that. And then 2 Peter chapter, have we got that one? No. Okay, left that one out. 2 Peter 3 and verse number 18 tells us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so there are stages of growth or degrees of knowledge. There's a number of reasons for growing in the knowledge of God. And this verse here from Job 38 and verse number 2 has to do with the first one of those reasons. Ignorance is certainly a curse. Ignorance will cause us to be lost. It will destroy us. Just like in the physical realm, or whether the financial realm or social realm, ignorance is a curse to us. In Job 38 and verse number 2, God turns on Job, you might say. Job has been doing some questioning of him, and God says to him, "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge?" God had, and Job had been speaking some things, and of course his friends really had been speaking some things and trying to give counsel to Job, but they didn't have any knowledge. Without knowledge, our counsel, our plans, our instructions, the help that we might try to give others doesn't help at all. And then the next one Gary's going to put up here, if I've got them in the right order here, Proverbs 1 and verse number 22. The writer says, "How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge." Have you ever come across those people who don't want to learn? Do not want to increase their knowledge or their understanding, not just of the things of God, but things of the natural world. Fools hate knowledge. In Isaiah 5 and verse number 13, Isaiah says, "Therefore my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge." They didn't have a knowledge of God, and this is what caused them to be destroyed and their enemies to come upon them and to take them captive. Hosea 4 and verse number 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." I haven't got the rest of it on there, the next verse, didn't intend to put it up on there, but he says, "Because you have rejected knowledge," this is written to the priests, those are supposed to be the leaders of the people, "and because you've rejected knowledge," he says, "God has rejected you from being priests." Knowledge is very important. Ignorance is a curse. It caused God's people to be destroyed. It's causing weakness within the kingdom of God and destruction of God's kingdom today. But also, knowledge is important because of its value. And its value is greater than all riches. The next verse we're going to see here, Jeremiah 9, verse number 23 and 24. Jeremiah says, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in the Lord, that he understands and knows me." That's what we need to glory in. Now, people glory in all sorts of things in this world today, don't they? In their riches, in their homes, in their positions, in their power, in their social standing. They're more concerned about those things than they are about knowing God, understanding Him and His will. That's the most important thing, more valuable than anything else. And then knowledge is important also because God desires this type of life, a life that's lived with knowledge of Him more than anything else. Notice he says in Hosea 6 and verse 6, "For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." Now here are the people. He's talking about the people in Old Testament time, that they would come and make their sacrifices. They'd come and make their stand and make their long prayers. They'd offer their burnt offerings, go through all the ritual and ceremony at the temple and that God had told them to do, pay tithes of their ever possession, even those mint and cumin and so forth, those spices that grew in their garden. Make sure that they did all of that, but they failed when it came to the knowledge of God. How many people are the same way today? How many people come to worship this morning? We're here to punch a time clock, to put in their time so they could say that they worship today. They fulfill their obligation. They performed the ritual, but are not really interested to very much about the knowledge of God. And then knowledge is important also because knowledge makes us free. John 8, verse 31, 32. "If you continue in my word," Jesus said, "then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's the truth that's going to set us free from sin. It's the truth that's going to give us eternal salvation. It's the truth that is going to make it possible for us to reach those pearly gates and reach that heavenly home. The truth, the knowledge of God is so important to us. We must not overlook it. I don't know, I become so frustrated sometimes because it seems that people don't want to know about God. Even sometimes members of the church seem like they don't care about knowing about God. Don't care about studying His Word. It's not that it becomes discouraging, but it causes me great concern. What are we going to say to the Lord on the day of judgment? When we are ignorant of His way and His truth and the knowledge we need to know, and we've had such opportunities. Well, there's also a number of areas in which we are to supply our knowledge. A number of areas where we need to grow in knowledge. One of those first ones is our knowledge of God. Paul wrote this to the Galatians in Galatians 4 and verse number 8 and 9. He says, "Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which were by nature are no gods." Now here we see that the man in sin doesn't know God. When they lived and they didn't know God, then they did service to those that were not gods. But then he says, "But now after ye have known God, That's the rest of that verse comes from the third chapter of Galatians. We got the wrong verses put together there. That's Galatians chapter 4 and verse 8, but that's not number 9 there. At least that's not all of it there. But they had come to know God and they were trying to turn back. And that's what Paul was concerned about the Galatians with there. The man in sin does not know God. And then knowing God means to obey Him. 1 John 2, verse 3, hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. To really know God is to live a life free of sin. It's to live a life of keeping His commandments. In 1 John 3, verse 6, whoever abides in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen God, neither known Him. To know God, to know His purpose and His plans and His love and His mercy and His grace for us is going to change our lives. What our world needs is to know God. You know, as I study about many of the emotional problems, mental problems, psychological problems that people of our world have to deal with, most of those problems are brought on because people do not know God. God's not in their lives. They don't understand the love of God. They do not understand God's plans for them and what God is doing for them. And then 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8, to know God is to love Him. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who that loves is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. This sort of has to do well with what we were talking about this morning, being forgiving of others. If we cannot be forgiving of others, we really don't know God. If we don't know the same mercy and love that He has for others, and we can't practice that toward others, then we really do not know God. And then John 17 and verse number 3 says, this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. It's God that we need to know. And when we turn to the pages here of His Word, we need to be understanding Him and His will and His purposes and His plans, His thinking. Paul said to the Philippians in Philippians 2, verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to think His thoughts, His attitudes. So first area that we need to work on is getting to know God. But then there's a second area that also we need to grow in knowledge. And that area is our knowledge of ourselves. Our knowledge of ourselves. First passage here to help us see, that's James chapter 1, verse 23 through 25. If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. As we look into God's word, we learn about ourselves. We learn what we are like. We learn our nature. We learn our relationship to God. But he says if we look in here and then we just go away and forget what manner of person we are, it's not going to help us at all. But he says, whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. There is eternal life as we look in here and we come to see what we are like, what we should be like, and where we need to make changes. We come to know ourselves as we study God's Word. And then one comes to really know himself as he knows God better. Also, I think Isaiah 6 and verse number 5. In Isaiah chapter 6 and the first 5 verses, or the first 4 verses before this, we have record of Isaiah being in the temple. And he saw God seated upon his throne. He saw the seraphims with the 6 wings. 2 of them they flew. Two of them they hid their face. And 2 of them they covered their feet. And they cried out and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And when Isaiah saw this scene of God high and lifted up and his train filling the temple and the seraphims there, he said, then I said, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. when we see God, we ought to, at the same time, then see ourselves in comparison to God, see His holiness, His mercy, His love, His greatness, and the contrast between ourselves. But it ought to be like looking in a mirror, and that should be that which we're striving to become, to be like Him. But it all has to take place as a result of knowledge. As one comes to know himself better, he's able to become more faithful and able to make changes in his life. Here, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 5. As we come to grow, we must learn to control our thoughts and our minds, casting down imaginations. That word could be translated reasonings also. So casting down reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. As we study His Word, fill our mind with His thoughts, our purpose, our goals must be to bring our thoughts into obedience to Christ. Make our thoughts captive to that obedience of Christ, so that all the other reasoning and things and thoughts and patterns of the world and of Satan are cast down. And then, in the next one there, Gary, Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2. We see here that he calls upon us to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That requires the feeding of knowledge into our minds to renew them. That's the way we're changed, by renewing of our minds. And then 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 and 20, we see there that we need to recognize our relationship with God. We're not our own. We belong to Him, been purchased with a great price. That knowledge is oh so important in regards to ourselves, and will help us to make changes that we need to make in ourselves. We need to know God, know ourselves. We need to know about our relationships to one another. And God's Word has much to say on that also. I've just got a couple of scriptures put up here. One from Romans 14 and verse 15. If thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not in love, could be a better word there. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. If I am more concerned about my whims and my pleasures and what I eat and drink than I am about the welfare of my brother, I don't know God. I don't know how to get along with one another. I don't know what love is all about. I need to grow in that area. And then in Philemon, the book of Philemon is what that's supposed to be, in verse number 16, Paul wrote to the master here, and he's pointing out how that now he can receive his servant back, not as a slave as he was, but much more a beloved brother. The knowledge of God enables one to truly see a brother when he might have formerly seen simply a slave or a servant, to see people as they really are. That's what we need to do, to see people for the beauty of the people, on the that inner beauty, that Christ-likeness, and not just that physical beauty. So we need knowledge of God, we need knowledge of ourselves, we need knowledge dealing with our relationships one with another. Those are some of the areas in which we need to grow in knowledge, and we could add many others as well as that, and knowledge about how we're to serve God and honor and worship Him and so forth. But how does one supply knowledge? How do we supply knowledge to our virtue? Psalms 119, verse number 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. It's through his precepts. And then, God, Jerry's got some more there for us, I hope. Psalms 1 and verse number 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it doth he meditate day and night. That's where we need to, what we need to fill our minds with. Proverbs 2, verses 3 through 6. says, yes, if you cry out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom from His, From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Only place to get knowledge and understanding is in God's Word. And then, of course, we have this here from John chapter 7 and verse number 17. In order for us to know God's will, we've not only got to study from God's Word, but we've got to practice it. Jesus says here, if any man will to do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. If any man will do His will, we have to put into practice God's Word as we come to know it and understand it. As we gain this knowledge, we must practice it, or we are not going to be applying our knowledge to virtue. And of course, we started with this verse, Ephesians 5, verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not wise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We must really try to understand God's will in all matters. To add our knowledge to virtue, we must understand His will. Virtue, as we talked about last week, is that energetic action and determination to do what is right. But that virtue must be controlled and guided by wisdom. There are a lot of religious people who want to do what is right. And they have virtue. They have that energetic energy and desire to do, to serve the Lord. But they do not have the knowledge that must guide that virtue in the right paths that would make their energetic action, their virtue, pleasing unto God. Well, sounds like the rain has already come again. Should I just go on preaching until the rain ends? Or do you? I don't know how we can overestimate the importance of knowledge of God's Word. Knowledge of God. God's Word is so powerful. It has the power to change us, to make us to be partakers of that divine nature. But we must feed on it. We must be like the man, Psalms 1 and verse 2, our delight to be in the law of the Lord, and in it meditate day and night. Gary has a song now, says, oh, why not tonight? If you're out of Christ, if you know there's sin in your life, maybe as a Christian, and you need to respond to the invitation, we invite you to come now while we stand and while we sing.